Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because it's Mother's Day, we want to celebrate mothers this morning, because mothers are the foundation of this world. I mean, they're the foundation. Everything is based in the bedrock that we find in our mom. And I can tell you from my own experience, I've always had a place where love and faithfulness, sincerity and truth could be learned from. An example that has always been part of my life, and I wouldn't even know how to respond to life if it hadn't been for the things I learned from my mom. And then my wife has continued that tradition for me and for my boys, and just the love of my, and the light of my life. So y'all receive some roses this morning, and just know that you're a blessing to us as these things are handed out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you would, turn with me to John 15. I want to kind of pick up where Tina left off last week. She said something and it sparked a thought in me that I wanted to pursue. But even this week, it actually has been brought more into focus in some ways. Because there was such a sincerity and a transparency that, I know you're trying to look away now. I see. But there was such a transparency that touched right where you live. Because it's necessary for us to receive God in that way. It's necessary for us to be open and honest and transparent with Him. Because the more open and honest and transparent we can be with the one who loves you totally and completely, the more you can change and become like Him. Hallelujah. And so she set an example before us. And so I just wanted to just kind of touch on this thing. So this is lovely. We have rose flowers everywhere. That's awesome. Glory to God. So here, let me touch on something here in John 15, verse 1. So I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it that may bear more fruit. Every branch that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it. Prunes it. See, that word prunes there actually means to cleanse. To make free of mixture. To make free of mixture. And last week she was talking about making free of mixture. We've been making ready for the Lord all this year. But see, part of that process is to make free of mixture. And sometimes we get caught up in the thought that pruning has to be this awful chopping. Because if you're pruning a tree, there is a chopping. And I guess if you're the tree, that might be awful. But in our life, it doesn't always have to be pruned. We don't have to be pruned by the Lord in that way. It doesn't have to be something that's vicious and something that's hard to go and endure. It can be something that's wonderful and something that's freeing. Why? Because being made free of mixtures means letting go of what is impure. It's simply letting go of what's impure. See, we have some tomato plants growing in our backyard, but we have them in these little containers, so they grow upside down. The dirt's on top. And there's some things that I noticed. Number one, when a tomato plant comes out, there'll be two when it splits, in a fork, there'll be two. But if there's a third one in there, that third one needs to be pruned off. Because otherwise, all it's doing is growing and using resources that the rest of the plant could use. So if we don't prune, there are things in our life that are using resources. They're using our time. They're using our thoughts. They're taking up resources that don't produce any fruit. Matter of fact, oftentimes they are actually sucking away the resources the rest of our life could be using in a fruitful way. The other thing that I noticed from those tomatoes is that if you don't water it for a while, that dirt gets dry. And when you next water it, it just flows right through. It just flows right through. You actually have to water it a little bit, and then come back and water it some more, and then come back and water it some more. And that's what actually happens with us as Christians. When we get to the point where we're dry, then we have to be watered a little at a time until we can begin to absorb the whole amount, the proper amount. Until we can receive the full installment, we have to take some little mini installments to get to the place where God can bring a full installment into our life. So if we're in a place where we need to take a mini installment, receive it. Receive it. Don't walk in shame about it. Just receive the mini installment. But if you're in a place where you can take a full installment, grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of it and relax and rejoice. So why I'm addressing these things, because this is something that I was impacted by last week. It seems that the enemy has had a lot of people under the microscope. Before Wednesday night of last week, I had four different conversations with four different people, and some of the people were to the point of wanting to even commit suicide. Why? Because the enemy had them under the microscope. The enemy was blowing up little things in their life and showing them only the little negative things. And maybe sometimes there were things that they did, and sometimes there were just things that were done to them. It doesn't matter, because the enemy was only showing them the bad. He said he's an accuser of the brethren. And so Wednesday night I began to talk about it. And then after service I find out there's three more people in the service that I didn't even know about that were also having been under the microscope. So you see, but God is always here, and he's always giving us the way out. That's what Kim was saying right up there, right up front. He's always showing us there's a way out. We just have to be able to receive it. Sometimes we have to take the little mini installment until we can begin to take the full installment. Then we take a full deposit of his spirit, a full deposit of his love. But whatever it is that you're taking in, know that no matter how dry it might be, there's the water of the spirit for you. Pruning with God doesn't have to be a rough thing. The pruning with God oftentimes is done in the midst of his love. In the midst of his love. See, and when he comes around me and he begins to envelop us like we could feel this morning, he begins to envelop us and begins to be open and transparent in our around us. See, we can quite easily surrender whatever the thing was that needed to be pruned in that environment. So he will wrap you with his love. He will wrap you with his love. And as he wraps you with his love, he embraces you. And in that moment, there's a freedom to just release whatever needed to be released. There's a freedom to receive truth, because it's the truth that ultimately sets you free. Those are the things that he begins to do. But see, it takes for us to look for it to happen. When the enemy puts you under the microscope, you kind of sometimes it's really hard to look and see outside the microscope. But you have to remember that if you're looking through a microscope, it's only seeing one little speck in one little place, and there's a whole lot of world around it. The world doesn't consist of what's under the microscope. It consists of the truth, the whole. The whole. See, and when we begin to embrace the whole, we begin to embrace the whole, we can embrace his truth. And we can find freedom from whatever the thing was that was oppressing. Hallelujah. In Luke 3, Jesus receives Holy Spirit. He's baptized in the water, and Holy Spirit comes down and touches down with him. And the Father begins to speak to him and give him his identity, because he says, "This is my beloved Son, the one in whom I'm well pleased." You know what? He's still saying the same thing. He's saying it for you, David. He's saying it for you, Les. Same for you, Robert. I should be talking to all the moms here. Oh. It's Mom's Day. I got to celebrate the guys too, okay? But what he's saying, this is my son, the one whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. He's still saying it, and he confirms his identity. And so then what we see in Luke 4 is that he then is drawn out as he's received the Holy Spirit. He also receives, because he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with
fire.
Right? So we see where he goes out into the wilderness, and what happens? He's tempted. You know what? Sometimes when you've received your identity, the enemy wants to come and put it to a tempt. He wants to come and see, do you understand your identity? Do you understand who you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? Because if you know whose you are and if you know who you are, then the temptation will be no temptation whatsoever. Because Christ Jesus, his response to the temptation was, hey, it's written. Hey, it's written. No, I'm going to honor my Father. I can't honor you because I got to honor my Father. He recognized where his source was. He recognized whom he was. He recognized whose he was. And he stood with those things. And guess what? The enemy had to disappear and wait for a different time. He couldn't do anything with him. Even after 40 days of fasting. You know what? After 40 days of fasting, I'm probably pretty malleable. I'll just be honest, okay? After about 11 days of fasting, which is as far as I've ever gone, I was pretty malleable, but it was like, ugh. I don't think people wanted to be around me, or at least I was trying not to let people be around me, because I knew there were certain things that were working that kind of needed to be worked out before I could be around everybody else. And that was after 11 days, okay? What happens after 40? I ain't got there to tell you yet, so. But I can tell you what's available to us in Christ. It was exactly what he did. What's available to us in Christ was the power of the overcomer. Was why in that moment that he began to overcome, he began to recognize the dunamis that was within him, the Holy Spirit that was within him, and the fire that he carried. He began to recognize those things, and as he recognized those things, he began to release all that power and authority, the word of God over his life, the testimony of God over his life, and the identity that he had in Christ. And guess what? He came out of the wilderness. You want a secret to overcoming when the enemy comes and he puts you under the microscope? The secret is to stand in the fullness of the identity you have. Stand in agreement with that identity, because as you stand in agreement with that identity, then you step and you'll come through the test and temptation. Here's something else to remember. The temptation is not you. It's not your identity. If Jesus can be tempted, who are you not to be? Okay? We don't have to identify ourselves with that thing. We can recognize, not me. Not me. You don't have to focus on it and repent for 40 years because you had that temptation. No, that wasn't what Jesus did. Jesus said, here's the word, and then I'm going on. You're out of here. That's the example he sets before us. Let me tie something in. Acts 10. I just love this verse. And it's Peter here, and Peter... he's taking some things for granted, baby. But he says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And he said, so he's anointed him. God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. That fire is the power of the dunamis of God. And that power and that dunamis of God, that's the dunamis, that's the explosion, that's the explosiveness of dynamite. That's that kind of power. But what we see here is that there's a dunamis of God that is given for deliverance. We're about healing all that were oppressed by the devil. How do you heal somebody who's oppressed by the devil? You deliver it. You kick the devil out. How do you heal somebody who's sick? Kick the devil out. Infirmity, got to go. What do you do when somebody's oppressed, when somebody's depressed, when somebody's having a place of heartache? Then what you do is you got to kick the devil out and begin to recognize who you are. Amen. That's worthy of at least one clap. Amen. I agree. Thank you, sister. Because the enemy has a plan for you, and he's the one who's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to constantly accuse. But the reality is, we don't have to listen to it. We don't have to receive it. If we'll stand in the fullness of what God has already said. If we'll stand in the fullness of the dunamis he's already given you. He's given you the power to overcome. That's how he came out of the wilderness. Because that power was within him. The power is within you. The power is within each and every one of us, because it's his delight to deliver you. The Father already made provision. It's up to us to apply the provision. So we receive it. Like we said earlier, sometimes we have to receive it a little drip by drip. You know, we process the drip, so we can get a little bit more moisture in there, so we can hold a little bit more moisture. And as we hold a little bit more moisture, we get a couple of drips, and then we hold a little more moisture. And sooner or later, we're holding the whole amount that God has already provided for you, and you're out of your wilderness, and you're in a place where you can flower and bloom and have fruit again. Hallelujah. Just like those tomatoes. Hallelujah. Be a good tomato. Hallelujah. There's a fruitfulness that God has assigned in our life. If we'll look to the fruitfulness in our life, it will solve a lot of issues. When the enemy comes around, he's wanting to show you every negative thing. But if we'll look at the fruitfulness, because every one of you has impact. Every one of you, if you've been a Christian for a day, you have impact for somebody else's life. If you've been a Christian for a week, you've got a week's worth of impact you can impart to somebody's life. And it doesn't matter how much word you have yet, you have something called the anointing of God, the presence of God in you that can change somebody's life. The lady who helped bring us, Kim and I, into the kingdom only had been saved for like a month. It doesn't matter, because we could see the change that was already in her. It was like, whatever happened to you, I want that. She was one who had been on every kind of medication for anxiety and everything else that you could be on. And then she came up and she was just calm and at peace. With all the medication, she was never calm and at peace. But all of a sudden she shows up in her life and says, and she's calm and at peace. And I said, I don't know what you're on, but I'm on that. And she had to explain to me that it wasn't something she was on. She was on Jesus. So maybe I want that. You know what? I've been wanting that ever since. That's awesome. And you don't have to have any other ill effects in the morning. When you have Jesus in your life, you can wake up in the same place that you left off last night. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wake up even better. I mean, it's just amazing, because God will take that nighttime season and he'll do a reset. And it's like, oh, everything just passed away. Glory to God. We didn't get very far here yet, did we? Okay. I want you to understand that if you're under the microscope, it's not God that's putting you under the microscope. It's only the enemy who deals in condemnation. So when we're feeling condemnation in our life, when we're feeling condemnation, that didn't come from God. That only came from the enemy. And if we get into the place where we're feeling condemnation and then we start agreeing with it, that's called self-condemnation. And that's just simply agreement with the enemy. So what we want to do is we want to recognize who we are. So we quit recognizing and coming in agreement with what the enemy was saying. Your way out is by looking up. Your way out is by looking to Him. Your way out is about, is to see, receive whatever little drip you can receive of that moment until you can receive the fullness of His installment for the, for you. I want you to think about, remember we almost out of context. Remember out of Hebrews 10, we talked about He has forgotten all your sins and iniquities. He remembers them no more. So that you have a place of an opening. Why? Through the veil of His flesh. In other words, Jesus provided a way for you to come in and to be with the Father, to come in and be with Him. He provided a way and He says, just step in with Me. And so out of that, He's receiving us. He's choosing to receive us regardless of where we've been. So it's up to us to recognize the same thing that He's recognizing. It's up to us to recognize what He's doing for us. And so in the context of that, I want you to go to Hebrews 12. Because see, He's doing something here. He's been doing something in my life. He's been doing something in the lives of several people here. I'm encouraged by the things that, the testimonies that I receive and the testimonies that Tina's received. I'm encouraged to hear what God is doing in your lives. I'm encouraged to hear about the excitement God is placing among us to see and know Him. Hebrews 12, verse 1. So therefore we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why? Because of the joy that had been given to Him. You know who the joy and what the joy represents? You. You. You're the joy that was set before Him. You are the joy that was set before Him. When I got baptized in the Spirit, when I was baptized in the Spirit, I was just on fire, shook for five hours at least straight, burning up to the place where other people around me could feel the heat coming off my body. Now, I know probably most of you didn't have to have that much deliverance, but I needed that deliverance. I needed all that deliverance, okay? I probably could have done another 10 hours, okay? If I'd have known how important it was, I'd have just let Him just let it burn, baby, let it burn. But I wasn't smart enough to let it burn. I was just trying to like this there. But you know what? He'll come around you. He came around me with such love and such intensity. It was nothing. There was nothing painful in it for me. When He begins to prune us like that, He's pruning us out of His love. He wants to just literally love the hell out of you. Okay, I don't know if I can say that in church, but that's what He did. He did it, okay? He just let it all go. All He needs from you is for you to be able to let it go. But in that moment, as I'm sitting there, and there was a moment where they literally drug me into the house. Somebody had to drive me home, and they drug me into the house and they just flopped me on the floor, and I'm laid there like on a cross. On the floor. And as I'm laying there on the cross, I begin to see, I'd never read my Bible in Matthew 28. I saw the whole thing play out. I lived it like He did when He was on the cross. But I could feel the joy He saw when He saw Cody. I could feel the joy He saw when He saw Mateo. The joy He saw when He looked out through time and saw each person who had come to Him and lived their life for Him and then began to love Him and receive Him I saw that and I felt the joy that he felt over every soul. And that joy overwhelmed even in the midst of the agony of the cross. And I know the joy that he has. If you'll flip with me to Jude. There's only one book there, so it's only a couple of verses. You don't have to get worried. Hallelujah. Because in Jude, there's something I want you to see. Verse 24. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. Our only God and Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. You know what he just said there? He just said he's presenting you with the Father in great joy. In great joy. It's his delight to present you to the Father. It's his delight to bring you and say, hey, Papa, I've got a present for you. I've got a present for you. It's Pastor Chuck. You know, you remember what a heathen you used to be in, but look today. Look where he is. Got a present for you. And he'll do that the same for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. He's presenting us before the Father, and it's his great joy. It's his delight. And there's a presence of joy around. And this morning, as we were just beginning to worship this morning, I just felt there's a breaker that's happening, a breakthrough that's happening, because the word of joy is going to begin prophesying to our heart. And so it's really hard to stay in a down place if you're allowing joy to prophesy to your heart. Because the joy that he had set before him is the joy he's enjoying now when he presents you before the Father. And that joy will begin to prophesy to every circumstance, every situation, everything that you're facing, and begin to change and shape it to look like Christ.